For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's fair to say that the story of Christmas is one of the most familiar and beloved and delightful stories ever told. Surpasses many beloved fairy tales. Indeed, the story of Christmas is so enmeshed in our culture, so part of our fiber and our being. It's often retold in countless ways and places, in television specials, in cute and funny movies, in well-worn carols by some of the most unlikely performers. Even those who care nothing for Christ and His church recognize the power, the sentiment, the appeal of this lovely story. But Christmas, I tell you, cannot be reduced down to mere emotion, something that man can mold and cut out like his favorite Christmas cookie, regardless of what he believes, confesses, or teaches. We cannot sit in the darkness and the eaves of our life wondering if what St. Luke tells us tonight actually happened. And so it is that five times in St. Luke's Gospel, recalling our Lord's Nativity, he uses the Greek word agenito, which simply means to come into being, to happen. The poetic way of saying this is as you find it in the beloved King James Version of the Scriptures, and it came to pass. Christmas is an historical fact that came to pass on a night when few expected it to happen. But our Heavenly Father, He knew. There was never a question of whether or not He would send His Son into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. For as the God whose nature is love in Himself, that was a given. Christmas came to pass by God's almighty and gracious hand. He used history, the hands and the tongues of unknowing men, to give men what they could not give themselves, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So the world turns, the leaf withers, the flower blooms, the seasons change, the sun rises and it sets. And through it all, God brings about man's salvation. So as St. Luke recounts the birth of our Lord, we hear the familiar ask of our government. More taxes. Sounds quite familiar. A census had to be taken so that people and property could be listed and taxes assessed. Caesar Augustus decreed it, and so it happened. Cyrenius was the governor of Syria, so he carried out the order. Joseph and Mary make haste to Bethlehem, for this was Joseph's ancestral town, being a descendant of the King David. Without even knowing what they were doing, Caesar Augustus and Cyrenius are instruments of God, bringing about the conditions through which God would send forth His Son into the world to bestow upon all men His life and His flesh. This gift was prophesied some 700 years before that night through the mouth of the holy prophet Micah. And this had come finally to pass. Christmas came into being by God fulfilling His promises, no matter how long the gap was between its utterance and its fulfillment. And while Mary and Joseph resided in that little town of Bethlehem, it came to pass that Mary, the mother of our Lord, gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. When you think about those words, in one respect, it was a birth of a baby like any other, A baby boy, 10 fingers, 10 toes, a smiling and cooing face, gurgling, giggling, spitting up. At that moment, there was no great fanfare. And what really happened, you really couldn't know simply by looking at this baby. You could only know if you were told by someone who knew what miraculous and gracious thing had just happened. And so it was that there were shepherds in that very region, carrying out their menial vocation, watching their flocks by the light of the stars. And these poor men, going about their vocations in life, were greeted by someone who knew what was happening. An angel, a messenger of God, begins to unwrap for these shepherds the present that God was so silently, yet graciously and joyously giving to all the earth. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That little word "you" should make you so joyful tonight. For the angel speaks not to wood, not to stone, not to animals, but to human flesh, to you and I as creatures of God, made in the image of God, yet fallen, and that image being lost. He did not come to save geese or cows or ducks or any such thing, for if he had come to save those things, he would have certainly assumed the likeness of that creature. But no, tonight he is made the Son of Man. The angels do not need him. The devil does not want him. But you and I, we need him. And so for our sake, he became human. He became flesh, bone of our bone and blood of our blood. For we sinners who fear the unending darkness of the grave, tonight is born for us a child who is the unending light and life of all eternity. We sinners who fear our sins and their haunting character and how they have burdened our conscience and broken our relationships, tonight is born for us a Savior who forgives all of our sins and heals all of our brokenness. God did not take on flesh as some sort of theatrical show, a sort of cool feat to try to see if he could do it. No. He put on flesh precisely to wrap himself in our ills of flesh and soul. He lies in a cold and dark manger, otherwise known as our world, and yet is alive for us with heavenly light. So whatever heartaches and disappointments afflict you tonight, whatever dysfunction besets you or your family and friends, whatever satanic lies crowd to the door of your heart and your mind, I have good news for you. Unto you and for you, a Savior, Christ the Lord, is born for you. And he loves you. He left his home to bring you and I, homeless children, home. He saves his people from their sins. For that is his very name, Yeshua, Jesus. And his birth tonight is your birth. A second birth, as the hymnist would put it in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, into a very heavenly peace. So as you ponder in this season of Christmas the words of St. Luke's account of our Lord's birth, I would have you marvel at God's love and that it happened for you this night, that it came into being for you this day. And that it was no accident. It was not some random happenstance that magically turned out good. No, it happened this way because God saw to it that history would work for your benefit and salvation. And Luke 2 is far more, I should say, than a history lesson. What you hear, if you might put it this way, is gifted history. It's not merely the passage of time and events, but God breaking into that time and breaking into those events to announce and deliver His love to you. And so to tell you that He has come to rescue you. Yes, He uses unsuspecting pagan monarchs and kings and governors. Yes, He surprises lowly shepherds with joy, people like us who carry out our vocations under the darkness of cross and affliction with varying degrees of faith and hope. But He peels back the layer between heaven and earth tonight, and He proclaims to angelic ministers that we forlorn creatures are not alone, that He is Emmanuel, God with us, that He has wrapped Himself not merely in swaddling cloths, but wrapped Himself in your flesh, under bread and wine for you Christians to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of all your sins. And so you came tonight to hear the angels sing of the profound love of God, to hear at what great length your God would go to rescue you and to save you. You came to hear and find the certainty that God loves you and joins Himself to you and rejoices over you with His love. And it happened. It came to pass. Jesus is born. Merry Christmas. Amen.
Amen.